Talk Live. We're here live from the 2012 edition of the Porcupine Freedom Festival at Rogers Campground in the beautiful White Mountains of New Hampshire. We're here in the LRN.FM media room where a number of different radio programs are being produced all day long, and I'm proud to be a part of this. It's just so much fun to be here with other like-minded, liberty-oriented people, and there's just so much happening. We're only halfway through this thing. By the time the show is over tonight, we'll just about be at the halfway point. It started up on Monday. It's going all the way through Sunday at noon. So still plenty of time for you to get up here. Maybe you happen to be in New England already this week. Make a detour. Get up to the Porcupine Freedom Festival. It's in the northern part of New Hampshire, but it's worth the drive because you'll be with other people who actually get it when it comes to what freedom is. So, once again, go to porkfest.com, P-O-R-C-F-E-S-T.com, and that's where you can learn more about this event. We can tell you more about some of the events or the panel discussions and such, things that were going on today. But we want to go to you and your thoughts. Mike is on the line listening in Arizona. Mike, you're on Free Talk Live. And I believe you are an XM listener to America's Talk. Hey, Mike.
Hey, I think I might have told them the wrong channel. It's 166 I listen on. But anyway,
that is America's Talk. Go ahead.
Yeah. It was really neat to hear Formula 4409. I credit him with waking me up many years ago, watching his videos, and teaching me just through the interaction he was having with the police that it's okay to stand up for your rights and to say no, and I don't comply. And I also think that if it wasn't for the work he did with camera fraud, we'd still have speed cameras in Arizona. So that's, I just wanted to start out with that.
Now, by the way, the work you're talking about is, you're referring to Shelton, the guy from the 4409 YouTube channel. He was on with us last night here at Porkfest. But he and some other people, I believe, were involved in some interesting protests down there in the Phoenix area, where, as what you're referencing, the camera fraud situation, where they've got these, I think they are speeding cameras that they dressed up as Santa. Well, I don't know who it was that dressed up, but people who probably Shelton knows dressed up as Santa Claus, and they went up to these speed cameras, got out a stepladder, and put huge boxes like presents,
big Christmas presents over the top of
the speed cameras, and they made video of it, and it is hilarious. So I would recommend people check that out if they haven't seen that yet. So I'm glad that you enjoyed that interview.
Yeah, I did. And I always hope I run into him at a gas station sometimes so I can shake his hand. In my mind, he's got folk hero status, kind of like you guys do. But I had a contact, you know, and I want to hate the cops. I mean, I want to. I mean, I sometimes watch YouTube and police brutality just so I can keep the fire boiling in me against the police. But
it's upsetting to see.
I have contacts maybe twice a month with police officers. And the other, last time I was on Hometown, I think, my wife and I purchased a car we found sitting in a lot with a for sale sign on it. We took it to DMV, and we got a license plate for it that day, but I didn't have the screws to put it on the license plate holder, so we put it in the back window. But an Arizona Highway Patrolman stopped us, and after he asked for my wife's identification, she was driving, he asked if there were any weapons in the car, and I told him that I was armed. And he asked me where the weapon was, and I told him it was on my hip. And he acted like such a professional. He asked me to get out of the car, and he disarmed me and said he's going to take control of the weapon until the contact was over. And when it was over, he put it back in the back seat. He said, don't load it up until you drive away, if you would, please. But he never asked for my ID. He never even asked for my name. And I guess that the part that makes it amazing to me is that he didn't overstep his bounds. And there are still police officers out there that do the right thing. So it makes it hard when I have things like that happen. And then I watch
the video. Well, I'm glad it's hard for you, because I don't think that it's a good thing to hate anybody. I think that hate hurts the hater. And I think that, while I agree with what Mark said, is it's easy to hate the police because a lot of them do some really horrible things.
The internet is full of stories.
Peaceful people, and it doesn't seem to be slowing down at any point. I don't think that hate is going to produce anything of value for you. I think it's going to put you in a really negative place, and it could lead to some destructive, really destructive
path.
I think you create your own reality, and so if you don't like police, and I understand, then at some point or another you create a situation with them where you find some guy who's feeling like that badge makes him important.
The badge heavy, as they are called.
It's not going to go well.
Well, right, and so I think it's a challenge, but, if you look at what a lot of teachers in the past have taught, love your enemy, for instance, is a pretty important thing, and it can be pretty hard to show the police love, but I think that's something that's worth doing, because maybe, I don't know, maybe they'll appreciate it and reciprocate someday, or maybe make them more likely to listen to what you have to say, or more likely to reconsider their own perspective. If you're coming at them from a perspective of appreciation for the things they do right. So, like, for instance, with the local boys in Keene, New Hampshire, where that's where we normally do the show, if I see them doing something right, I'll make a point of saying something to them. The police chief isn't talking to me. He's on treating me with a silent treatment recently, but I still walked up to him and I thanked him for taking the parking kiosk off the street. They were looking at bringing those electronic kiosk things where you have to punch in your number and you get the ticket and then you have to do something with the ticket. They were trying that out, and there was a lot of backlash against it, and they made the right choice of, instead of cramming it down everybody's throat, they pulled him off the streets. And so I took a moment to thank him for doing the right thing in that case. So I think the more positive reinforcement that we can give them, and I think it's also, I think that's valuable, but I think it is also valuable to critique them, let them know when we don't appreciate what they're doing. Hey, that's not right. You shouldn't do that. That's not how you treat a peaceful person. That's not how you should treat your neighbors. So I think it's okay to hold them accountable for what they do. I think it's okay to record what they do and show the world what they do, but don't do it from a point of hate.
But I don't think it's cool to take a man's sidearm off while you're having an interaction with him. I mean, imagine for a second if you tried to take his look. Hey, if one of us has to be disarmed, then why don't both of us have to be disarmed? Why couldn't you go behind him, take his sidearm out, put in the back seat of his car, and tell him not to load it up until you leave?
Well, clearly there are two classes of men.
Clearly, yeah. If one man can stand you up outside of your car, pull your gun out, put it in the back seat, and make you feel good about it,
yeah,
they're clearly two different classes of people.
No doubt. Mike, your thoughts?
I completely understand what you're saying, and hate is probably the wrong word. I dislike a lot of the things that they do. And now the thing about being disarmed, I think that has to do with conditioning people to comply. Now, it's sort of the kind of a deal where in exchange for being allowed to carry without a permit, I did, however, finally, in the mail, my wife told me last week that my concealed carry permit arrived. But it's sort of like a trade-off that the law says that during an interaction, the police officer could take the weapon for his own safety. And I kind of feel like I'm willing to make that trade-off because I can carry concealed without a permit if I wanted to in the state of Arizona. So that was okay with me. I did have a problem with being disarmed. It made me feel weak, I guess. I don't know the other word to use for it, but I didn't like it, but I put up with it. You know what I'm saying?
Sure. Oh, I get it. I mean, I understand completely. I've had police officers knock down my speeding tickets from 14 miles an hour to 9 miles an hour, and I was thankful for the lower speeding ticket, but it's still somebody handed me a ticket.
Yeah, I always try to discourage people from thanking these aggressors. You see it happen all the time. Like in a courtroom, people will thank the judge for sentencing them to something. Like, what are you thanking him for? He hasn't done you anything of value. He's taking value from you. There's nothing to thank them for. A lot of times cops will ask me, is that okay? After they tell me something that I'm going to be forced to do. Or is that okay? I'll always say, no, it's not okay. But, you're going to do it. So, and I'm not going to do anything to you about it, so that's that. But no, it's absolutely not okay, and I want to let you know and make sure that's clear. Mike, anything else you want to share tonight?
Yes, I wanted to ask you. I hear about 10,000 times a day the word economy on the talk radio shows I listen to, and I was wondering if you guys wanted to give your definition of what the economy is. Is it the gross national product? Is it the amount of money people spend in a year's time? Is it the amount of money that's brought in on tax revenue? What exactly is the economy?
Good question. Let's address that here in moments. And thanks for the call, Mike. Appreciate hearing from you. 855-453. Maybe you have an answer for Mike's question. What is the economy? 855-450-3733. We're here live from the 2012 edition of the Porcupine Freedom Festival.
Thank you. Several days after the Patriot Act was passed, a printed version was made available for Congress to read. Yes, I said several days after the Patriot Act was passed. But that's not unusual. Congress routinely passes bills that has little or no time to read. I'm Jim Babka with DownsizedDC.org, and I say it's time for a new American revolution with the slogan, no legislation without representation. Congress cannot claim to be representing us when they don't know what's in the bills they pass. They shouldn't take the words of lobbyists. They shouldn't rely on unelected staff. And they shouldn't take orders from the party leadership because, after all, they're supposed to represent you. At DownsizedDC.org, you'll find a bill that should be the law of the land. It's called the Read the Bills Act. You can read it at our website, DownsizedDC.org. Better yet, you can use our simple system to tell your elected representatives to sponsor the Read the Bills Act. Write it down, DownsizedDC.org.
We want to know, how do you use WebEx?
I live in my car, sometimes a rental car. Every day, I find a nice, quiet place to pull over and meet a client through WebEx, face-to-face on my smartphone. This is the way to do business.
The new free version of WebEx Meetings lets you take your office anywhere, your desktop, laptop, or mobile device. Get your free WebEx Meetings basic account now at WebEx.com. WebEx from Cisco, WebEx.com. WebEx.com.
We the People grow cotton, weave fabric, engrave ink, embed strips and fibers to protect from counterfeit and carting to a private bank, having it lent back at interest, forcing taxes to service debt. This capitalism, or was Jefferson correct when stating a central bank issuing the public currency is a greater menace to the liberties of the people than a standing army? Hi, Ted Anderson. I'm placing a free silver dollar in a book that explains our monetary system. Call for your copy, 800-686-2237. It's time to understand the system. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
Iodine protection packs from hempusa.org are now in stock for immediate delivery worldwide. Our iodine protection packs include microplant powder, green life kelp, red palm oil, and our clear roll-on iodine that will feed the body the iodine it needs. All iodine protection packs are in stock, save you money, and ship for free in all 50 states. Visit hempusa.org or call 908-691-2608 today.
HempUSA.org has a revolutionary wonder food for detoxing the body and rebuilding the immune system.
Microplant powder can help unclog arteries and soften heart valves while removing heavy metals, virus, fungus, bacteria, and parasites. Plus, it cleans and purifies the blood, lungs, stomach, and colon. Keep your body clean with microplant powder. Visit us at HempUSA.org or call 908-691-2608 today.
Did you know that gold and silver contain healing properties? It's true. Since the beginning of mankind's history, gold and silver have not only been used as real money, but also for healing our minds and bodies. Utopiasilver.com is your leading source for colloidal silver and colloidal gold, offering supplement protocols that can heal and enhance your health. Protocols for boosting the immune system, insomnia, yeast infections, herpes, and countering the effects of vaccinations and radiation poisoning. And now Utopiasilver.com encourages the use of real money with this buy one, get one free real money special. For details and your colloidal silver and colloidal gold supplements, call 888-213-4338 and ask about 50% off for first-time customers. That's 888-213-4338 or visit utopiasilver.com, utopiasilver.com, fighting for liberty and healing one American at a time.
Now, more Free Talk Live. Dial in at 1-855-450-FREE. That's 1-855-450-FREE.
This is Free Talk Live. Toll-free number tonight, 855-453. That's the SACL CAI toll-free line. 1-855-450-3733. You can join us on our website. Head over to freetalklive.com. Enjoy the features you'll find there. Lots of stuff, including archives going all the way back to late 2006. You may download as many of them as you would like. Do what you want with them, and you know, do whatever you want to do. People will ask us sometimes, hey, can I use your archives to put on a YouTube video, or can I use your archives to, you know, whatever. Don't even ask. Just do whatever you want to with them. Have fun.
So freetalklive.com is where you can go to get those. In fact, if you look on the left-hand side of the
page, you want to do an expose about how our views are immoral and wrong,
crazy, sure,
and you want to use the verbiage from the show, go ahead.
Go for it. Yeah, have fun. So if you look over on the left-hand side of the page under Listen and Share, you'll also find the link to our SoundCloud page, which is our new one of the newest ways for you to get the show and share the show with your friends. Share it on Facebook, Twitter, your WordPress blog. So once again, go to freetalklive.com. You can download as many archives from there as you would like. Also, one of the ways to listen to Free Talk Live is live streams. Of course, you know, we've got a bunch of radio stations that carry the show, but we're also online in streaming form, and you can get us through listen.freetalklive.com. But because we've got the live stream, means we're available on the C-Crane CC Wi-Fi Internet Radio, along with about 18,000 other radio stations from around the world, Pandora, Opio, Live 365, and MP3 Tunes. This thing goes anywhere a Wi-Fi signal can go, so you can put this in any room of your house where you can pick up a Wi-Fi signal. For me, it's in the kitchen. That way, anytime during one of the breaks, you know, we can hear what's going on, knowing we need to be back in the studio. It's essentially a monitor for me, and it's really reliable. It's got a good connection, and the quality of the products from C Crane Company are excellent. So go to ccrane.com, learn more about the CC Wi-Fi Internet Radio. You can listen to Free Talk Live. You can listen to LRN.FM and pretty much anything else that streams on the internet.
Yeah, there's 18,000 radio stations out there.
Yeah, there's more than you can possibly listen to on the C-Crane CC Wi-Fi Internet Radio. I mean, how long would it take you to actually listen to all 18,000 radio stations? Probably a lifetime.
I don't know. Do you speak Urdu?
They're from all around the world.
Indeed.
So you don't have to be able to speak it to listen to it. So go to ccrane.com, C-C-R-A-N-E.com. As we continue here live from the Porcupine Freedom Festival, we're going to bring in a special guest host on the program. Normally we just have guests on Free Talk Live at Porkfest, but tonight we are going to have a special guest host.
Well, there's so many talented radio personalities running around here, and there are things to do, and you want to do something, right?
Well, I've been invited to host the karaoke event last year. I kind of came down after the show and took over the event from the person who was doing it at that time, and was asked to do the whole thing this time around. So Ben from Ben Stone from the Bad Quaker podcast was gracious enough to be willing to step up and kind of sit in for the remainder of Free Talk Live, and then the two of you will be hosting together here for the last half of the show.
Two Quakers doing Free Talk Live.
So good evening, Ben. Welcome to the program.
Thanks for having me.
Well, it's a pleasure to have you here, and to my knowledge, this is your first time at Porkfest.
It is, yeah.
So, welcome aboard, and from where are you coming?
It's western central Ohio, so
okay,
between Cincinnati, Dayton area.
And for folks that don't know, the Bad Quaker podcast is something you do on a pretty regular basis. You know, of all the Liberty podcasts out there, yours is probably produced the most often. As far as, I mean, obviously, Free Talk Live, we've got a podcast of our show every single day.
Mm-hmm.
But as far as people that are just producing podcast-only programs, you're not live on radio, you're doing a show for podcasts, you're doing it almost every day.
I try to do five a week. Yeah. A lot of times things interrupt that, and I get two, three, four, but...
What do you think? Now, I've listened to a few of your shows, but I wouldn't call myself an expert to be able to sum it up.
Mm-hmm.
What would you? How would you describe your show to other people?
A lot of random rambling, disassociated things that just pop into my head. But
well, I wouldn't call it rambling. I mean, you seem to have a point whenever you're talking, and you usually are really brilliant about what it is you have to say.
Right. I found a big focus on history.
I try to, yeah. And I try to focus as much as possible on the zero aggression principle,
mm-hmm,
and how it applies to the things that are happening around us on a daily basis, and how we can interact with that ourselves in dealing with other people and in dealing with the government as well.
Now folks can go to badquaker.com to mm-hmm listen to the Bad Quaker podcast.
I'll be the good Quaker tonight.
You guys can get into that here in a moment, but I want to make sure we can get to the phone calls here.
Mm-hmm.
But first, why don't you answer the question of the last caller, and that is, you know, how do you define economy?
I think there's two very distinctly different ways to define economy. One way is the traditional way that a lot of the people in mainstream media and the people in the government talk about the economy. They want to talk about numbers. They want to talk about, you know, gross national product.
Traditional metrics.
Exactly. And it's all extremely confusing, and yeah, I believe it's confusing intentionally.
You'd think that they would. I mean, there are words to describe the things that they are describing,
mm-hmm,
that don't that mean things to people.
Yeah.
So you could use meaningful words, or you can choose to use words that aren't meaningful. You can, you know, you can say M0, and people don't know that that's, you know, the amount of money in circulation. You can say M1, or, you know, whatever. You can use these these abbreviated terms or whatever in order to confuse people. And I think that there's, you know, to some extent, yeah, that's it's to, in order to segment themselves from others.
I think the true definition of economy, though, is human action. It's what people do, the choices they make, the decisions they make, how they interact with one another.
How does that differ from the marketplace?
I think the market is the practical outworking of that. It can be, because the market doesn't necessarily mean something on Wall Street. The market is any time humans interact with one another on a voluntary basis.
Let's go to you and your thoughts. Let's get Ken on the line here in New York. You're on Free Talk Live, Ken, with Ian, Mark, and Ben.
How are you guys doing tonight?
Hey, Ken, what's on your mind?
Is his name Ben, your guest?
Correct.
Ben.
I think you just hit the nail on the head. I don't know if you've read Mises. That's pretty much what he explained it as. I mean, you cited human action, so it makes you think you did.
Correct.
But to me, the economy is just me doing business with other people and them doing business with me.
Well, isn't that the... it sounds very similar to the marketplace, the economy being sort of the accumulation of all of people out there doing business with one another. That seems to be equivalent to the market. Whether it's a free market or not is another question, but the market is also the aggregate of everybody's transactions, of what it is they're offering, what it is they're buying, all of that. So it seems almost to be a synonym.
Yes, but it's not. The market, the term market isn't used within the the sort of economics world.
No, it certainly isn't. Ken, other thoughts?
I think the reason there's such a distinction is based upon perception of value and what actually is valuable. I think most people with the free market bent would say all exchanges are subjective value. So you can't just say plug this number in because that's what it's worth. All you can say is, if an exchange happened, each people values what they received greater than what they gave up. And you can't do math when you're working with figures like that. So I think people in the mainstream brush that aside just as an inconvenience.
Ken, thanks for sharing your thoughts. Appreciate hearing from you. 855-453 is the SACL CAI toll-free line. More Free Talk Live to continue here in moments live from the 2012 edition of the Porcupine Freedom Festival. Get over to porkfest.com, P-O-R-C, like porcupine, P-O-R-C-F-E-S-T.com to learn more about this excellent event. More Free Talk Live in moments with Mark and Ben Stone joining us here from the Bad Quaker Podcast. This is Free Talk Live.
Did you know that 50% of heart attacks are brought on by infections? Did you know that hospitals are breeding grounds for antibiotic-resistant bugs like MRSA? The environment is infected with parasites, and the mild winter means ticks with Lyme disease, mosquitoes with West Nile virus, and cold and flu viruses will be on the rise. Protect yourself with Nature's Natural Antiparasitic, Antiviral, Antifungal, Antibiotic, Allicin, the Heart of Garlic. Get concentrated protection with Alli-C and Alli-Van from AffinityHealthProducts.com. One capsule of Alli-C equals 40 cloves of garlic or 100 garlic pills. With no garlic breath, Alli-Ban has Allicin in spray, liquid, and cream forms with three times more strength than leading brands and costs less. Go to AffinityHealthProducts.com, spelled A-F-F-I-N-I-T-Y, HealthProducts.com, or call 877-888-7126. That's 877-888-7126. Protect yourself with Alli-C or Alli-Ban from AffinityHealthProducts.com.
Love gardening but don't love seeing your hard work destroyed by wildlife? Then use the number one most effective deer and rabbit repellent you can buy, PlantSkid. PlantSkid repellent protects gardens, trees, and landscaping by emitting an odor that browsing animals associate with predators. So animals avoid plants before they nibble, not after. PlantSkid is made in the U.S. from non-toxic, 100% organic, environment, and pet-friendly ingredients. Other repellents wash off in the rain, not PlantSkid. It's guaranteed to outlast all other repellents. PlantSkid was the first animal repellent to be OMRI listed organic and now comes in liquid spray, powder concentrate, or easy-to-use granular. Just sprinkle around your garden. For proven protection from deer, rabbits, squirrels, and other small rodents, use PlantSkid. Member tested and recommended by the National Home Gardening Club. Find a dealer near you at PlantSkid.com. That's PlantSkydd.com. Ask about our new vole repellent when you call 800-252-6051. That's 800-252-6051. 351-351. PlantSkin, proven plant protection, guaranteed or your money back.
Survival is not about the end of the world. It's not about a hypothetical plane crash or the latest violent storm. Survival is about the satisfaction of knowing you can take care of yourself and your family in any situation, anytime, anywhere. CampingSurvival.com was started in 1956. No, not the .com part, the survival part. CampingSurvival.com has over 17,000 urban, wilderness, and preparedness items. Supreme customer service. Very low shipping and no games. We look around to make sure we have the lowest prices, and CampingSurvival.com is 100% USMC veteran owned. Don't base your survival on the latest spring up on the internet company. Do business with an authority on survival. CampingSurvival.com. Use coupon code GCN at checkout, and CampingSurvival.com will take 5% off your order. CampingSurvival.com. Confidence born of preparation.
How's your pH today? Are you acidic? How alkaline is your blood and body? What is the pH of the water you drink? We are AlkaVision, and we have the answers. Drinking pure, high-alkaline water is one of the most important factors in maintaining vibrant health and high energy, because bacteria and viruses cannot survive in an alkaline, high pH environment. If your drinking water isn't at a pH level of 8 or higher, boost it with AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops. Our unique formula will alkalize your water, ridding your body of harmful toxins and acid, and help regain energy and health. Simply add 10 drops of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops to help your body rid itself of acidic waste, increase oxygen, and raise the pH of your body to optimal levels. Order your bottle of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops for only $29.95 at AlkaVision.com, spelled AlkaVision.com, or call 800-518-7615, 800-518-7615. Alkalize your body, supercharge your health at AlkaVision.com.
This is Free Talk Live. Call in now, 1-855-450-FREE. That's 1-855-450-FREE.
Talk Live, 855-453. That's the SACL toll-free call-in line, 855-450-3733. You can call in, talk about whatever you want to talk about here on the, well, this is the live Wednesday night version of Free Talk Live. But we are broadcasting live from the Porcupine Freedom Festival. It's Mark with you.
And Ben.
That's right. We've switched over, kicked Ian out. He's out of here. He's eating right now, and he's going to go down and handle the karaoke. But Ben, so how long have you been here at the Porcupine Freedom Festival today?
I arrived late Monday and kind of wandered around in a haze Tuesday from all the driving. So really, I just arrived today.
The whole week's a blur anyway.
Yeah.
I mean, because it's just such a, there's so many things to go watch and so many events and just so much going on that it all washes past you.
It does.
One thing I was noticing is that it's not one Porcupine Freedom Festival, but since there's about 1,200 people here, it's really 1,200 Porcupine Freedom Festivals, because, you know, my son is running around and he's doing, going to the pool and doing the crafts and playing the playground with the kids, and his Porcupine Freedom Festival is entirely different than mine, and
right,
it's going to be entirely different than yours, so everybody's going to have a different experience because there's so many things to do.
Absolutely. And there's just people walking from camp to camp, just enjoying the company of each other, meeting strangers for the first time.
It's a lot of that.
Yeah.
So let's go ahead and take a call here. We got Mark in New York. Mark, you're on Free Talk Live. What's on your mind?
Webster's Collegiate Dictionary, one of the definitions for economy is the head of the household being a good steward of the money.
Okay. Do you think that the person who is the steward of the money is the head of the household?
No. The government, they're head of the money. But as far as practically, the head, they should be anyway. I guess when we were younger, our parents were.
Mm,
you know,
right.
But that'll all change when everybody thinks that they have to go out and spend to make this machine continue to do what it does.
You know, sometimes couples will split up the chores and that kind of thing, and sometimes couples will do that, handle the money together. And largely, my wife handles the money, and I'm just, I was wondering, do you think that because she's the one who writes the checks, she's the one who knows how much money's in the bank accounts, she's the one who knows where, you know, gets the investment forms and all, whatever, all the stuff that, handles the bills and all these things, that is your own personal economy, is she in charge?
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, she really could do anything she wanted with it.
Well, because it's a woman, don't get me wrong, and they're actually better with money.
I don't know.
She won't do what she wants. She'd probably confront everybody and talk about it first. I would hope.
Mark, I would hope so, too. Thanks for the call. I appreciate it. 855-450-3733. Ben, your thoughts on it?
In my household, taking care of the money and so forth is really a burden.
Mm-hmm.
And so I do it until I get tired of it and don't want it anymore, and then my wife takes over. And when she gets tired of it and doesn't want any more, then I do it.
It is a trust thing, though. As Mark was pointing out here, is the person who has the checkbook really does choose. They choose to make the rules. Now they can rule that in any way they want, and obviously, you know, some kind of revolution if they do it poorly. But they get to decide where the money goes. If you trust them enough, they decide where to put it. And there've been plenty of stories of plenty of people who have placed their trust in folks that didn't work out.
Yeah, very true. And oftentimes, of course, this is often said that money is the single most common source of a problem in a marriage.
Yeah, indeed it is. Money's, you know, just disputes about it. And it's usually a lack thereof.
Mm-hmm.
So sadly, you know.
Well, not always, though. There are very famous cases where money was in abundance.
Mm-hmm.
And, the greed takes over and off they go.
And usually those are in the cases of wills and that kind of thing?
Well, I was thinking more Hollywood types and sports figures and things where there was an overabundance of money and it still ended up crushing the relationship.
Well, like, tell me about the lesson that you would have brought out of those situations. I'm trying to...
Well, you know, the old saying, which is just a saying, is that money is the root of all evil. But the biblical saying, of course, being the love of money or the lust of money,
sure,
being the root of evil. And money, in a way, once you get a certain saturation point, it seems like the lust for money takes over the practical use of money.
Mm.
And not for everyone, of course, but it has that tendency to fog the vision and interfere in a normal relationship.
Never been a problem for me.
on a purely theoretical basis.
Right. You know, tell me about this time when so much money fogs the relationship. I just don't understand. I imagine a life where, you know, enough money is coming in that I can continue the lifestyle I have without the concerns that money brings, you know, the outflow, and we have enough to give generously to all of the things, the projects that I love and I'm interested in.
And there's a problem there too, because the more that you have to give, the more there seems like you need more to give more.
Mm.
It's kind of a thing that you begin giving like that, and it's very difficult to know when to stop self-sacrificing and, you know, stop seeking more ways to give. That's kind of almost addictive in a way.
Yeah, certainly. I mean, then you're managing the outflow of money rather than managing the inflow.
Mm-hmm.
And it's one of those things. So your podcast, BadQuaker.com, I was listening to you telling sort of the history of Jericho, and I thought this was very interesting. Now, this is the biblical city that the Israelites supposedly marched around for 7 days, and the walls just came a crumbling down, however the story is told to children.
Mm.
But you said that Jericho was a very old city.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's the oldest in hard evidence. It's the oldest existing evidence of a state. Is the original, the oldest wall and the oldest tower at Jericho are the oldest actual evidence of a state, and a state being a fortification like that, where a garrison was fortified. Now, there are lots of settlements that are well older than Jericho, but Jericho has that distinction of having being a walled fortification with a tower, setting itself apart from all other older settlements.
So the purpose of this wall is to allow the peasants to rush into the wall and be protected when bandit miscreants come, and that this tower is someplace whence they can fire rockets and those kind of things at the miscreants, right?
Against the foreign bad guys. That's the story. That's the typical story that's told, and that's the lens that most archaeologists choose to look at it through. Except the problem is, if you look at the valley that Jericho is in, it's in the Jordan River Valley, which when Jericho was built, it was a very different climate than it is now. It was lush. It was watered very well, and it was heavily farmed by Neolithic farmers, and heavily populated. And
what were they farming?
Prior to the wall and prior to the tower, they were farming a variety of things, everything from grapes, figs, hemp, poppies, a wide variety of foods, and sheep, goats, you know, the whole nine yards.
Okay, sure.
Yeah, and when the appearance of the wall at Jericho and the tower, they right at the same time frame roughly, they began the overproduction of grain and essentially monocropping. And back to the earlier point, the original garrison could have only held probably about 20, 25, maybe as high as 50 people in a valley that had thousands. So clearly the garrison was not to protect the producing class of the people. Clearly, the garrison was to protect an elite few. And it's my theory that garrison represents the first state. They were literally thieves that had gotten tired or smart enough to stop roaming the roads and settle down in one place, and the walls were to guard the thieves.
Interesting. I've got some questions. 855-450-3733. Free Talk Live with Mark and Ben Stone.
I've been told no in many different ways.
I give you an order and you're going to obey it.
What are you doing?
You can do that and you have to leave here.
You cannot resign to the rally.
Walk with me.
I'm comfortable here, actually.
Whoa, excuse me.
Hey,
who do you think
excuse
you
me?
There is no manual bio allowed in this office.
No, I have work today. This is you. Wait a minute. Now, wait a minute.
Have a funny way of telling people no. Coming this summer, Derek J's Victimless Crime Spree. See the trailer now at victimlesscrimespree.com.
Hi, Jason Lewis here. Anybody who's been listening to my program knows how shaky the U.S. economy is right now. Will we have a V-shaped recovery, or will it be a W-shaped one where the nation slips back into recession? Of course, if you think that Washington can spend or inflate its way out of a downturn, you've got nothing to worry about. But as you know, I have my doubts. So let me tell you about gold. Now, as my friend Ted Anderson from Midas Resources likes to say, gold, like all commodity markets, fluctuates in price and you could lose money, but it has never been worth zero. Give it some thought, and if you're interested in converting your IRA to gold or would like to actually have it in your possession, call Midas Resources today at 1-800-686-2237. The U.S. dollar was once backed by gold, but has since lost 90% of its value. And if things don't change, I'm afraid the trend will continue. Call Midas Resources today at 1-800-686-2237 for gold and tell them Jason Lewis sent you.
There are so many benefits you can get from taking unheated whey protein. It helps put out the fire of inflammation and the pain it is causing. Eliminate the craving for carbohydrates, better sense of well-being, weight loss, muscle strength, energy, and growth, and optimal glutathione production. Glutathione is the number one means by which you detoxify all toxins, and this is vital to you feeling and looking good again. Consuming One World Whey is the most powerful way to raise glutathione. People report the elimination of pain and bloating after 1 month, as well as an improvement in strength, energy, and blood sugar. Children love the flavor and prefer it over junk food. One World Whey is performing mighty miracles for young and old. It is superior, unique, and unprecedented from any other whey protein powder on the market. Call 888-988-3325. Mention coupon code KNOCKOUT and you'll receive a free tube of KNOCKOUT pain cream with your order, which eliminates soft tissue pain in 10 minutes for 90% of users. Call 888-988-3325 or visit oneworldway.com. That's oneworld, W-H-E-Y.com.
For a long time, you've heard me talk about building your own food supply with eFoods Direct. As a listener, you know why you need to have a supply of the best storable food on the planet. Every day, we document the attempts to take control of our lives. But there's one thing we can all control, your greatest dependency, food. eFoods Direct products are made with only the best ingredients and none of the trash and contaminants like trans fats, GMOs, or MSG. This food is nutrient-dense and tastes great. It's simple to make, portable, and has a shelf life of up to 25 years. Now with eFoods Direct, you'll get the most affordable, best-tasting food you can buy. To celebrate the beginning of summer, you can save 20% off their already affordable prices. This offer ends on June 20th, so take advantage of the summer savings now. Call 800-409-5633 or go to eFoodsDirect.com/Alex for specials. Don't let this offer pass you by. Call 800-409-5633 or eFoodsDirect.com/Alex. More the best for less guarantee.
You're listening to Free Talk Live. Call 1-855-450-FREE. That's 1-855-450-FREE.
Live, 855-453, that's the fake, Fickle, toll-free call-in line, 855-450-3733. It's Mark with you.
And Ben.
And you can call in, talk about whatever you want. We are out here at the Porcupine Freedom Festival for the whole week and just enjoying the activities that are going on here. It's been a wonderful time had by all at the Porcupine Freedom Festival. And let me tell you, a lot of people have their camping equipment that they got from ManVentureOutpost.com. If you're any kind of outdoors enthusiast, you can get your camping, hunting, survival, or shooting gear from ManVentureOutpost.com. They've got all the name brands, and they've got them at the best prices you're going to be able to find. Knives, ammunition, scopes, binoculars, laser sights, tactical flashlights, fish finders, boating equipment. They've got it all. They're family-owned. Members in good standing of the Better Business Bureau, and you can get an additional 5% off with coupon code FTL at ManVentureOutpost.com. Get it quick. Get it from ManVentureOutpost.com, coupon code FTL. So, Ben, we were talking about the historical city of Jericho, which, now, how long ago did this, you said this is the first state by, you know, some definitions?
Right. You know, I get a little confused on math sometimes,
okay.
So I usually look at my notes for that. I believe it was either 9,000 years ago or 9,000 BC.
All right.
I can't remember which. It was the oldest age of the oldest wall and tower.
That far out, you're allowed to fudge the numbers a little anyway.
Yeah. So be kind. Say 9,000 to 11,000 years ago.
Okay. So, and that they had this, though, the wall and this garrison tower thing, and the garrison tower was relatively small,
mm-hmm.
only enough to, for, say, 25 to 50 men. And it's your theory that these, you know, men were there to protect the head thieves, that this was a group of brigands that mm-hmm. decided that, that life on the road robbing people is too dangerous and difficult, so we'll just stay in one place and lord over people.
Yeah, and we see that in the American Old West in robbers' roosts, and back in the, like, 15, 1600s in England, there would be robbers' roosts
mm-hmm.
where they would, like the hole in the wall was for, I can't remember the name of the gang in the Old West that was there, but it's a fortified area where they can go out from, rob the productive class, and then go back to and defend that in case of attack.
So what, obviously, you know, if people are being robbed, they're not going to like that. And if they're robbed out on the road, you know, they're descended upon, you know, bad things happen to them, and off they go.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, if you know where the thieves are, why wouldn't, you know, these thousands of people rise up against these 50?
I think the key, well, go with a different point of view. If you've, seen, like, the Seven Samurai or the Magnificent Seven movies,
mm-hmm.
or even Three Amigos, you had a situation where the townspeople are basically peaceful. The vast mm-hmm. majority of human beings are basically peaceful people. And the quantity of people who would rob and cheat and steal and so forth are proportionally very small to that. And if a thief is wise, let's think of the mafia, for example. You have some gangster of some kind, and if he's smart, he's not going to go to the productive individual and rob them completely of everything they possess. He can do much better for himself if he robs a little bit, allows them to be productive, robs them a little bit again, and each time there's this understanding that I won't hurt you as long, and I won't take everything you have. As long as we continue this relationship, I'll just take a little bit, leave enough for you and your family, and I'll just take your excess.
So what the state has as an organization is that they basically, you know, they are the exclusive set of thieves, the monopoly thieves. You know, not that they actually are the exclusive thieves, but they claim that for themselves. You know, in the way that they claim property taxes and income taxes, they claim your wealth and they claim your land for themselves. Now, grant you, they only take a certain portion of both of these things,
mm-hmm.
but they claim them. If they can take 35%, they can take 75% of your, you know, wealth, whatever it is. You know, they have an arbitrary number that they've come up with that they claim from yourselves. But what they don't allow to happen is they don't allow other thieves to go along and do their thing. They have mechanisms, efficient or not, mm-hmm. for stopping that behavior. What do they call this? The social contract, which is that I'll steal from you, but I won't let anybody else steal from you. Was that in play immediately? Because it would seem like that would be the only way you'd be able to get away with it.
Yeah, I think if you look at any type of an organized gang like the mafia or whatever that has that type of relationship with the people they're feeding off of, that's implied right from the beginning that I'm...
Because they're not a producer class. They don't make things from nothing or from less. They don't make things from components. They just take. So, therefore, they live in a lack world. Their world is only what's available to be taken. And they don't have the ability to produce. Whereas a producer might say, well, you know, crops were bad this year. Some thieves came along and took the crops or whatever, so I'll make more.
Mm-hmm.
They don't see it that way.
Yeah. And so that relationship would have taken place where you're talking about excluding other robbers.
Mm-hmm.
The initial robbers would have had a motivation to keep out other robbers, because if Farmer A, if he can afford 20% of his crops to be taken by the primary robbers, then Farmer A probably can't afford another 30 or 40% taken by roaming robbers. So the primary robbers would then actually defend the farmer from the roaming robbers.
Now, and history's funny. You know, we're talking about 9 to 11,000 years ago, and what we have a tendency to do is lump all these things together. You know, all this stuff happened, and it, you know, obviously it happened over the course of a you know, a great deal of time. There's a lot of difference between the year 1000 AD and the year 2000 AD or ADE or whatever terminology they use, common age, ACE. So, you know, it's easy to kind of lump 1,000 years together when that 1,000 years occurred 7,000 years ago. But I'm wondering, how often did the producer class, farmers and that kind of thing, deal with roving bands of thieves in a world without a state? I mean, you know, who would know this information?
Right, because there wouldn't necessarily be any evidence of the roaming thieves. Well, actually, there was a bit of evidence. What they found in older archaeological finds, not Jericho, is that settlements would often have stash holes, either right in the settlement or in the adjacent areas to the settlement, where the farmers...
Fruit sellers.
Yeah, that type of thing, where they would have multiple uses for not only long-term storage for going through the winter or whatever like that, but also from a farmer's point of view, if you could stash your things in several different locations and the robbers came through your valley to rob, the odds are they're not. It's like having something.
Like keeping your wallet, keeping your money in four different pockets.
Exactly, exactly. Yeah, I was going to say, in your home, having things in several locations so that if thieves break in, they find one valuable thing and they leave, and they leave the rest of the valuable things.
Well, this is a piece of advice I was given: is if you're ever, keep money in different pockets so that if you're ever robbed, you can reach in, get some money, hand it to the thief, and then you still have however much money in different pockets.
Right.
I wouldn't recommend anyone trying to fight back against. Armed robbers, because it can be a very dangerous operation. But I listened to a podcast called Hardcore History, and you can find that I think it's at dancarlin.com. And they were talking about the sacking of a city, and this is just kind of terminology that we hear these days, and it means nothing to us. But the sacking of a city would be the equivalent of being hit by, like, the Hiroshima event. I mean, this is a terrible, terrible event. Everything's taken. Buildings are burned. All the women are, raped and people are killed. I mean, this is just the most horrifying of things.
Mm-hmm.
So, if thieves are able to get together with other thieves and keep a large enough group, they can essentially do this sacking of these unstated places relatively easily. So is this why the idea of the state spread from Jericho on to other places? Because this is a very successful formula, the state. I mean, it works.
Yeah. Actually, the economist Robert Higgs corrected me on something along that lines a couple of years ago. And it clarified my thinking.
Economists don't even bother to talk to me. So.
he pointed out that we look at things that the government does and we think, it doesn't do anything efficiently except blow stuff up. Everything else it does, it messes up. And Bob pointed out very, very wisely that, no, you're just looking at the wrong thing. What you're seeing is not really what the state does. Building roads, yeah, but they always break down and they're constantly working on them. That's not what the state does. The state does very efficiently. It feeds itself, and it continues to feed itself. That's what it really does.
Yeah, it's an organized crime organization with the legitimacy of 9,000 to 11,000 years of continuity.
Mm-hmm.
Free Talk Live, 855-450-FREE. Call in on your opinions on the state. 855-450-3733.
In every age, a technology is created that upends the foundations of society. The wheel, the printing press, the internet. Now, in a world sliding into financial chaos, a new technology is changing the way monetary systems work around the world. It is called Bitcoin. Bitcoin is a new form of money, controlled not by banks, governments, or corporations, but through mutual commerce between free individuals. To learn more, visit weusecoins.com.
Get 18,000 radio stations from around the world, Pandora, Opio, Live365, and MP3 Tunes. With C. Crane CC Wi-Fi Internet Radio, it's great in any room of the house. You can listen to your favorite station stream from back home, whether it's another state or another country. Play Free Talk Live's live streams, LRN.FM, or your favorite stations. If you're not familiar with the C. Crane Company, their products are the best. Get the CC Wi-Fi Internet Radio at ccrane.com, CCRANE.com.